When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores to get desperate to get food.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight Left Feast Network. I'm King Ginger, and the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right, the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And today, we're going to be talking about some cruel mercy. I'm going to tell you that. We're going to talk about John Rogers and his statements on abortion. We're going to be talking about a woman who murdered her child just moments after the child was born. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about property rights, because we haven't spoken about property rights, and it's been on my mind a lot over the past few months as I have to go and sit through these awful examples of tyranny and slavery as I go to the city council meetings every 2 weeks here in Phoenix. And let me tell you, there is nothing more frustrating than being, for lack of a better term, a libertarian at a city council meeting, because it is infuriating. So they changed the rules now, so we have to sit through the whole meeting, which it's really, really boring to sit through these meetings. It's really laborious and tedious. And it's what makes it worse is just knowing what God's word says and the fact that they have so much amount of their time spent towards discussing what to do with other people's property. And this is not a Phoenix issue. This is probably a majority of every city council meeting that you could attend in any state, in any city, in any county. You're going to hear city council members debate over whether or not somebody can do something with their property. That's essentially 95% of their job. I would say if I look at the agenda every week, most of it is all discussion on what to do with other people's property. Now, I know Mayor Kate Gallego would say, well, my body, my choice, right? Well, yeah. Well, what about my property, my choice? Where does that fall into? So 2 weeks, I guess 2 weeks ago, we were at the city council meeting and the government owned this parcel of land in downtown Phoenix, and they wanted to, I guess there was some company that put a bid on the use of that land, and their proposal was, instead of the government selling them the land, the government would have released the land to them for 100 years, 99 years was the term of the lease. This company isn't expecting the rapture to come anytime soon, so they booked a pretty lengthy lease. And the point was that the city was trying to determine, is it better to sell the land or to lease the land? Well, they realized that if they were to lease the land, they could get another $100 million. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but in terms of a 99-year lease, it was only a dollar more. A million dollars more per year, which isn't a lot. And the thing is that afterwards, the individual that bought the property would be able to pass the property on to his parents, to his children. The parents would be able to pass it on to their children. But that's not the case with a 99-year lease from the government. So anyway, that was 2 weeks ago. which was just ridiculous because a majority, I think over $1 billion over the course of 99 years, whether it's rented from the government or somebody actually owns the land, over around $1 billion is going to go towards property taxes. Which means that even if they were to buy the land and not pay the government $1 million a year to rent it, they would still be renting the land from the government because the pure amount of property taxes they would be paying, $1 billion over the course of 100 years. Now, why in the world would I ever want to pass down to my children property that's going to indebt them to the government for that amount of money over the course of 100 years? I don't want to say, hey kids, I'm leaving the earth, I'm dying, but I'm going to give you this property, but here's the deal. In order to have this property, you have to pay $10 million a year in order to keep it. Or else the government's going to come in and steal it from you. And that to me is absolutely sinful and immoral. Then this is why we need to discuss property taxes. And last week, we were at the city council. Excuse me. Last week, we were at the city council, and there was a guy who owned a piece of property in the city, and he wanted to tear down the building that was there and rebuild it into a storage rental facility, like an indoor storage rental facility. And so there was debate over whether or not that man with his property could build on his land. And there was all these questions about, well, will there be enough access to the roads with this plan that you've paid to have someone present to us, the crown of your city, that we might give you permission to do it with on your land? It was... And it's week after week in city after city. And I don't understand why there's not a single city council member that goes, it's your land, you have my vote. And instead we saw the opposite, which I thought was actually worse, I think, than the city council members saying, we're going to decide what you can do with your land. It's that they opened up discussion for other people to be able to explain why they didn't want that individual to do something on the land which they own. And that, to me, was actually, I think, worse. It's bad no matter what, and I don't have a real basis as to why the people going and complaining to the government is worse than the government actually, you know, being the ones that can make the decision at all to give them the permits or whatever. But it was just awful. And there was this lady there, and she was talking about how she's gone and spoken to these people and spent a few hours with them to discuss this plan that they want to do on their own property. And then she comes to the city council and voices her discontent and unsatisfaction with this. And then other people were saying how, oh no, this will be great because the current building is an eyesore. And I was like, these people aren't in an HOA. Like, they didn't make an agreement when they moved into their building, in their house. They didn't make an agreement as to what the buildings around them and the property around them can look like. But here they go to the city council and they're voicing their opinion because I guess it makes them feel politically active or they want to feel involved. But they're voicing their political opinions about whether or not somebody can do something with his own land. And it's absolutely disgusting. And I'm telling you, I don't know how many more of those meetings I can sit through and just let them do this to other people. I honestly, the only reason that I haven't like gone up and said something during these meetings is because I wouldn't want it to tick off the council and have them vote against the person who owns the property being able to do what he wants on his land because they're mad at me. That's pretty much the only reason. There's a fear that I have. If I go and speak out to city council and say, I'm sick of you guys debating what to do with other people's property, I feel like they would retaliate on that individual, and I would feel really awful about that. All that to say, well, what does the Bible say about property rights? Do you, as a human being created in the image of God, have a right to own your own property? This is a fantastic question. It's really important in today's society, especially if you think about how much property we don't own. You don't own your car. If you don't pay a registration fee, your car is taken away from you. You don't own your land. If you don't pay property taxes, that's taken away from you. Your motorcycle, pretty much any piece of property that you own can be taken away from you by the government. I mean, this goes not, this isn't just for houses and cars. This goes for, you know, farmers and their farming equipment. Is that property, is it properly licensed, and all these other things. And so what does the Bible say about owning stuff, about owning things? Who owns things? Now, the first thing to understand is that, first of all, God owns all things. God is the owner of all property. All of matter belongs to God. He is the king of the universe. He's a sovereign. He created it. He owns it. It is his. However, God has given men stewardship of his stuff. Now, the government, how it works now is the government gives man stewardship over their stuff. However, in the Bible, it's God gives individuals the right to own property. And from there, the government is supposed to protect people's property, not to seize it, not to own it. Now, it shouldn't come as any surprise that a nation like ours, which has seized land like Hawaii, which has seized other land in other nations and put military bases there, it should come as no surprise that our nation believes that they are the sovereign of land. And, well, that's just not true. The Bible says, for example, first and foremost, the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. In order to steal something, someone has to have ownership of it. This is pretty clear. Thou shalt not steal. Well, how can I steal someone's land or someone's property if they don't actually own it? Right? So the foundational verse, the foundational Bible verse that shows that people can actually own property is the eighth commandment, thou shall not steal. It's you know, Exodus 20:15. It's very, very clear that people own property. And then we have other verses in the Bible. For example, the 10th commandment, which says you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now let's think about that, right? So we have, you shall not cover your neighbor's house. That part right there, shall not covet your neighbor's house. Let's go back into the city council meeting for a moment. And we have a lady who's complaining about what to do with their neighbor's house, with their property. She's petitioning the government to do something or not do something to this man's property. She is, in essence, coveting and desiring her neighbor's house. Now, you might say, well, you know, she's just saying that she doesn't want it to be an eyesore, or she doesn't want it to be ugly. She doesn't want to degrade the area, but she is coveting and she is desiring something to be done with another man's property as she wishes, and not as the owner wishes. That is covetousness, and it is theft. When you tell someone you cannot increase the value of this property by running a business as you wish, as you want to, you are stealing the livelihood of that owner. And that's exactly what happens at city council meetings every single time. And of course, the Bible says about moving landmarks. It says, you shall not move your neighbor's boundary mark, which the ancestors have set. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless. So if you have bought an acre of property and the government comes in and says, hey, we're going to take your acre, we're going to split it in half, and we're going to turn this into low rent income. So this is what happened 2 weeks ago. The city council is complaining that if somebody comes and they build this building in this valuable district of downtown Phoenix that the city owns, the city wanted to make sure that there was low rent housing there. Now, of course, it's city owned property, so they can make that decision. But we see this happening all the time where somebody will come in and they'll say, this area right now cannot be rezoned. It cannot be used for any other purpose that it was intended because the government now wants to change the zoning of this to make room for a light rail or something else. I think we're seeing light rails like a lot. Or they'll say, you can't use this property for housing anymore because we want to make this a retail district. And the city decides what areas of what city is a retail district, what is housing, what is commercial, what is industrial, and it's rezoned. It's not taking the property away from them, but it is telling them how they can use the property. And I think there's a good general equity there, a good application towards rezoning and districts in the fact that you can't move your neighbor's boundary marker. And so when you're hijacking that land and you're saying, well, I know you were using it for this, but then now you can only use it for this. I believe that you're committing the same sin. And that is a basic understanding of property rights. Now, since we're talking about property rights, we're going to move into another form of property rights regarding abortion. Obviously, the argument there is that a woman's body is her body and she can do with her property what she wants. However, we know that the body inside of a woman's body is not her body, right? So that body is God's, and God is sovereign over that child's life, and God gets to determine when that life can be taken and when it cannot. And it is not up for the mother to decide. Now, before we get into what state legislator John Rogers said, and he said a lot, I want to take a moment to talk about my dear brother, Cy Timbergen-Gate. Now, I met Cy, man, I don't know how many years from now, at least over 6-7 years, probably. I guess I saw him for the first time at the Deeper Conference of Living Waters in Atlanta. That I think he was actually there. And that might have been 2000-something. That was maybe at least 10 years ago for sure. So I met him there. And then I started hearing about his debates or whatever. And he posted on Facebook and said, hey, he's coming up from Florida and going to Canada and needed a place to stay. And I was like, come stay at my house. So he stayed at my house. And from there, just this long-lasting friendship happened and took place. And we've been friends ever since, and we made How to Answer the Fool, we made Debating Dillahunty, and we've just connected here and there, and he's come to visit every now and then. And I am really thankful for that, brother. And I've always been encouraging him. I was like, dude, you need to make YouTube videos, you need to make videos, you need to do it. I know talent when I see it. This is what you need to be doing. And it took him a while. But he finally made his first real YouTube video responding to an individual by the name of Matt Walsh. Of course, Matt Walsh is no stranger to the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. And I want to emphasize here that what I'm about to say, and what I've been arguing with Matt Walsh or tweeting him, I respect Matt Walsh immensely. I think me and him, and I actually think him and Cy, would actually be really good friends if he would just sit down and talk to him for a couple of minutes. I think by the end of it, they would be really good friends and really see each other. But I don't think Matt Walsh is going to give Cy the opportunity to really just even have a private conversation. I don't think he is really interested in doing that. But anyway, Matt Walsh made the mistake of underestimating Cy, I think, as a lot of people tend to do, probably because he doesn't have PhDs, he doesn't have college degrees, he's not an academic in the intellectual sense. He's a boiler room operator, and he'll tell you himself, he's a boiler room operator. So then, you know, I think people see him on Twitter, or like in this instance, what I think happened is he said some things to Matt Walsh, and Matt Walsh got pretty bombarded with tweets and stuff about what he said. And for some reason, Matt Walsh said, well, I'm going to respond to this guy. And I think it motivated Cy like he's never been motivated before to respond. And unfortunately for Matt Walsh, there was a giant pile of information that Cy used for his video response. Now, if you haven't seen that video response, I'm sure if you just type in Cy Tinbergen-Kate Matt Walsh, I think the actual video is called Answer Anyone, or Answer Matt Walsh, Answer Anyone, Episode 1 or whatever. Screaming Bible Verses. Just Google any of those terms and that'll come up. Or you can visit Cy's Facebook page or Twitter feed at Cy10B, and you'll pull that up. And so if you just watch that video, I'm just gonna say this. I have never, and this includes everything I think we've done with Apologia Radio, Apologia TV, everything Fight Laugh Feast Network has done, A.D. Robles has done, all these people have done. I have never seen somebody make a commentary video, and I mean this with all my heart. I've never seen somebody make a commentary video, whether it's political commentary or theological commentary. I've never seen someone bring so much humor and wit and emotion to a single discourse like Cy did in that video. And I'm a filmmaker, and I know Cy wasn't making a documentary, because usually when you're making a documentary, you try to make those sort of things happen. You have the humor, you have the wit and the argument you're trying to get across, and then you tie it up with emotion. And I don't think Cy was trying to make a documentary film. It obviously wasn't a documentary film. It was him mostly responding in front of a single camera. But the way he compiled that was absolutely impressive. And I say this to encourage Cy. I say this because I know he's at a point now where people have seen it and they've given him good comments, and he's probably wondering, man, that was a lot of work doing one. Should I do a second one? And the answer is absolutely 100% yes. I love that video, and I was kind of in a rush to watch it, and I watched it at like 1.5-2x speed to kind of get through it, because I was reviewing it for him before he could post it, so I wanted to watch it as soon as possible. But my wife watched the whole thing later, and I just heard her laughing as she watched it, and she was really encouraged by it. So that means a lot to me, that my wife was able to watch this and enjoy this and be edified by it and entertained by it. But I've also read comments too that said people were laughing and crying. And Cy, way to go, dude. Way to go. Absolutely make more. And if you're listening to this, you know I always tell you guys, support the Fight Laugh Feast Club, which you should. But you should also support Cy on Patreon, because I think the more supporters he gets on Patreon, the more encouraged he's going to be, and he's going to be able to do this full time. And this is exactly what I think God has in mind for Cy, and he should focus all his time and energy on this and shouldn't be thinking about other ways he can gain income other than doing apologetics. So, that being said, watch that. Now, the reason I bring that up is because Cy brought up an important point in that video, and I'm not going to play a single clip of his video on here because I want you to go and watch the whole thing. But on that video, the entire thesis was Matt Walsh saying we shouldn't use scripture to argue with people outside of the abortion clinic, because we have to convince them that it's a clump of cells. Now, we as Christians know if you've spent 10 minutes outside of an abortion clinic and spoken to even one person who goes inside and kills a child, you're not convincing them that it's just a clump of cells. You're convincing them not to murder and rip apart their baby. And they will admit to you very clearly that that is what they are doing. So here's a story on LifeSite News. It says a teen stabbed her newborn baby 9 times, abandoned the baby in the shed, and went back to sleep. So the Texas teenager was charged for repeatedly stabbing her newborn baby just minutes after the baby was born. According to news reports in Texas, a 17-year-old girl repeatedly stabbed a newborn baby just minutes after the child was born and then dumped the baby's body at a neighbor's home and went back to sleep. I mean, I really don't understand why somebody would do this if they thought their baby was just a clump of cells. And, you know, there's the old joke here, which is, well, maybe she should have seen an ultrasound. That would have convinced her, right? The baby's already born. The baby's breathing. She takes out a knife, stabs the baby 9 times. But yet, you have people like Abby Johnson who would say, well, I mean, it was only a few hours, so she's a victim, right? Or she shouldn't get the death penalty, right? I mean, what's the basis here? Now, Matt Walsh says we should argue science with these people. We need to convince them that it's a human life in them and not a clump of cells. What about her? What about her? Matt Walsh? What about this woman? How do we convince her? She knows she's murdering her child at 9 weeks. She knows she's murdering her child just moments after it was born, and she knows she's murdering her child 9 weeks pregnant after the heartbeat. They know. And if it only takes 10 minutes of Matt Walsh being outside of an abortion clinic. And so that would be my challenge to Matt Walsh, Stephen Crowder too, which at least to Stephen Crowder's credit, he actually goes and debates people like in the street at the universities. So I a lot of respect for that. But I would like for Steven Crowder to actually go to an abortion clinic and talk to women who are going in. And I would like for Matt Walsh to do the same. Matt Walsh, this is true. And I'm sure a GoFundMe could be set up if Matt Walsh agreed. And I guarantee you people would pay for it. For Matt Walsh to go and spend 2 days, just spend 2 days, with John Barros in Florida. Just spend 2 days. And come back from that and tell us that women don't know what they're doing. Just come back from that and tell us 2 days. So that brings me to John Rogers. John Rogers is a Democrat in Alabama, and I believe he's a state legislator and not a senator. So he has recently stated, this was during the bill, way to go, props for Alabama, by the way, for passing this legislation. I think it was like 76-3 or something like that. And way to go for you guys for passing this. I don't know what the next steps are. I'm assuming it has to go to the Senate and before it can be signed to the governor. But anyway, this abortion ban was passed. There are problems with it. But again, like I said, I'm not completely anti-incrementalism. And I believe from what I've heard from people at Alabama is that this doesn't have every exemption we would ever want. Although it doesn't include rape and incest, which is good. But I think there's like a the health issue clause that essentially says if a woman says to an abortion doctor, I'm going to kill myself if I don't have this baby, they can have. So like that's kind of vague. And there's I guess there's other problems with it. But from what I've heard is this is just a bill whose goal is to get to Roe v. Wade. And so for that, I think that's great, even though Roe v. Wade ultimately doesn't matter and Alabama just needs to say, heck no. I do like people who are making bills and saying this is the bill that's going to get to Roe v. Wade. I think that's important. So anyway, so during the debate, John Rogers says this.
All I'm saying to you, it ought to be a woman's choice. I'm not about to be as a male tell a woman what to do with her body. She has a right to make that decision herself. To rape the incest. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. Then you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, kill them later. But the bottom line is that I think we should be making this decision.
So there you have it from John Rogers. We can kill them now or we're going to kill them later. So his argument, of course, is, well, they're going to, you know, they're going to be poor. They're going to be brought up in the inner city. They're going to be brought up in a poor community. And, you know, they're going to find drugs, sell drugs, join a gang, die, go to prison, whatever. We're going to kill them now. We're going to kill them later. Right. That's his position. But at least he's honest. Right. He's not saying, hey, look, this is a woman's choice and it's not a clump of cells in the womb. He's actually saying, no. It's a woman's choice, so kill it now so that we don't have to kill it later. It's disgusting. And Matt Walsh, if you're listening to this, which I highly doubt that you are, but if you were listening to this, I would ask you this question of John Rogers. Do you need to convince him that it's a baby in the womb? Do you need to convince him using science? Do we need to prove to him that it's a heartbeat? No, we don't. An ultrasound isn't going to help John Rogers because he says, kill it now or kill it later. Now, I want to continue what he said because he was actually interviewed by AL.com, which I believe is an Alabama news organization. I'm not entirely sure. I think it's print media. I think it's their newspaper. So Alabama.com went and interviewed him about this statement because it is awful and getting a lot of attention, and he doubled down. So this isn't someone who slipped up their words. This is a man who absolutely knows what he believes. So here we go.
You said, you know, they're unwanted children. You kill them now, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing as killing them later.
Right, because of the fact that you closed 13 rural hospitals. And didn't take Medicaid, don't do Medicaid expansion. You got at least two people a night getting killed in our prison. And then we keep locking them in prison, building a prison, locking them up in prison by the droves. So therefore, you kill them anyway. Then deny them right to get food stamps. You're saying that you got to get drug tested to get food stamps. Because you're on drugs, to me, you're starving in there. So therefore, you kill them anyway. State of Alabama is killing people every day. Then you'll tell a woman she can't make a decision by incest and rape. She can't have an abortion. She can't make that. That's a woman's choice. Then you'll tell a woman that you're going to die if you had a child, you got to have a child. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. She got right to make her own choice whether she want to live or die.
Notice how he said routinely, it's a child. This is not a man who needs to be convinced with science that it is life inside the womb. Not at all. Showing him an ultrasound is not going to change his mind. But notice his arguments. His arguments are valid in the fact that, look, man, people are going to die in the prisons. People are going to join drugs. People aren't getting food stamps. But here's the problem. The government is the problem in these instances. the government shouldn't have prisons. That's absolutely true. I know there's going to be a lot of people that send me a message and ask for more clarification on that. And maybe we should do a show on prison system soon. I'll take a mental note there. But in the Bible, there's only really restitution or execution. There's brief punishments for sure, but mainly it's restitution or execution. Now, you can imprison someone for a brief time while they await trial. So if someone is convicted of murder, obviously you don't want them roaming the streets. If they're convicted of rape, you don't want them roaming the streets. But essentially, that would only be overnight or like 2 days at most while the trial is being prepared. And then you have the trial. And look, the only evidences you need is two witnesses, right? So it's not a complicated trial. You either have two witnesses to the crime or the guy goes free. So again, in a biblical system, we absolutely do not need any prison systems. So he's making a case that, black children, they're going to die in prison, so we might as well kill them early. How about this? How about we get rid of abortion and get rid of our prison systems all at the same time? See, the problem is the government. The problem is the government allowing children to die in the womb, and the problem is the government allowing children to die later in prison systems by the corrupt criminal justice system that we have in the United States. But it gets better. This is a good reporter. I don't know who did this, but this is interesting. Here we go.
Do you think, slaves were unwanted? Do you think that's any different now?
Well, actually speaking, well, I understood blacks are people having their babies. This is done by a lot of white feel, and they got to balance their scale because they said by 2000, by 25, 30 years, it won't matter whether you're black or white because color won't even make any difference. So they say it's a move foot to try to put more whites on this earth. That's what they say also. So therefore, I'm not making an argument, but I'm saying that in backwards Bama, we kill them every day anyway. We kill them in prison. We kill them by not providing the proper food, by closing hospitals, not taking Medicaid expansion.
So he's asked about slavery and was like, hey, look, man, they were saying the same thing about slaves. And he doubles down and says, well, hey, look, we're killing them anyway. Now, look, here's the thing. I know that the Democratic Party doesn't want this sort of conversation thrown out there into the public. I know this 100%. And I feel like there's members of the Democratic Party that are like, who is this guy? What? How long has he's been in office since the 80s? Why is he? Who? Well, they know who you are now. I feel like this guy, I don't know who he is, but I feel like this guy isn't somebody that was like really out there in the Alabama doing a lot of things for Alabama. And I feel like he just ran unopposed for years. Or ran again. He's probably in a pretty much an all black district where they only vote Democrat no matter what. And he's the only guy. And now I feel like people are going to be like, we got to get this guy out of here because this guy has been in office way past his prime and he needs to go and retire because he's kind of out of his mind.
You know, the conditions in Alabama that you describe, the prisons and so forth, healthcare problems. But isn't it better for a person to be brought into the world and face those things and confront those things and never have a chance?
No, because you got the fact they brought him away, then you'll kill him at a later age. You kill him, it's at a later age because you bring in an unwanted child in this world. And then face the condition, they won't have a job. You put him in prison and kill him. You provide them medical care, you kill him at 15, 16, 14 because they can't get medical care. Because you close 13 rural hospitals, including Cooper Green Hospital in Birmingham. And then when you close, they can't even make it to UAB to get service because you're already dead. You already killed them. And that guy don't tell. I got a list of names, and you get two prisoners killed a year, a night, in Alabama State Prison. What's the difference?
What's the difference? This guy has made up his mind. Look, just kill the people. And so my question to him would be, why not kill them when they're 2 years old? Why not kill them when they're 3 years old? why is it okay to kill them in the womb and not at 4 years old if, you know, we're just going to kill them anyway? And so I feel like he's trying to make an argument against, you know, the corruption of the prison systems, which is a valid argument. But maybe he's against abortion and this is just like his way of giving satire. I have no idea, but that clip goes on and you guys can check that out for yourself, AL.com on YouTube. And so again, John Rogers is not someone that's going to be convinced by an ultrasound. He's not going to be someone that's convinced by hearing a heartbeat. He's not. And he reveals the truth about what abortion is. Abortion is a way to murder your child so you can have a better life. That is what it is. That's what it's always been. It's never been anything but that. But it's breaking down. It's breaking down. I think people are starting to realize that they can't appeal to the science anymore. They never really could, but now they really can't. And so their only option is to just fully embrace it as murdering a child and saying that's okay. And just going the absolute humanist eugenics route. That's, I think, their move now. And we're going to see a lot more of that. And I think that's good. I think hearing stuff like this and seeing stuff like this really wakes people up, and I hope they stay woke on this issue and not on any of the rest. Real quick before we go, I want to play this clip again because I forgot, but I want you to watch this guy in the back. This is the guy with the red tie on. Watch the guy's face. He's laughing now. Watch his face when John Rogers says what he says, and just enjoy.
I'm not about to be as a male tell a woman what to do with her body. She has a right to make that decision herself. To rape her, he said. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, I kill them later. You bring them in the world
unwanted, unloved. Look, I'm just... Look his face is the best. He's trying to act like he's not paying attention, and it just comes over the loudspeaker, and he's like, just my beard, you can't see me adjust my tie, but I'm adjusting my tie. That is fantastic. Way to go, whoever that guy is. I think that is a fantastic clip. Anyways, that does it for this episode of Law and Profits on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Let me encourage you to, of course, absolutely, 100%, sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Enter the code LAP, Law and Profits. Enter that code. Let people know that you signed up because of this great programming here that you listen to every single week. So thanks again, everybody, for watching and listening. And please sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Network. We're doing, I'll just say this before we go, what the Fight Laugh Feast Network is doing is they're building a commentary voice. They're building a platform that can rebut political issues of the day with a theological framework. And what we saw with the Cy Tim Brugenkate video that I mentioned earlier, what we saw was the absolute perfect dismantling of someone's humanist position while trying to justify Christianity and yet not holding to God's word. And I think that should wake us up and say, why have we given Matt Walsh the power? Why have we given Ben Shapiro the power to speak on matters of truth and justice without referring to the word of God as the standard? And so let me ask you guys, the guys out there who are listening to this, who do not have a Fight Laugh Feast membership, yet you have a Daily Wire membership or subscription, or you have a Netflix subscription, or you have a subscription to some other political commentator that you like, whether libertarian or conservative, you have a subscription to them, but you don't have one for the Fight Left Feast Club. We are trying to build an army to stand on God's word and speak to these sort of issues the way it should have been done all along. So that's why I ask you, please join the Fight Laugh Feast Club. The more we grow, the more content we can put out, the more Christ's name can be renowned throughout the earth. And that's the goal. I know all the guys that are part of that network, AD and How to Build a Tent, and of course, David and Gabe and Toby, all these guys are rock solid in what they want to do. And there's a lot of cool content coming out, and there's going to be a lot more the bigger the membership grows, and the more people that are associated with Fight Laugh Feast can focus completely on building that network. And you guys can help do that. You guys can help do that now. So again, thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you next week.